Hey, grandkids, welcome back to a non-holiday edition of the Stunt Granny Audio. I am here, as usual here these days, with my good friend Dusty Giebink. Dusty, what's going on?
Yeah, we're between holidays, just like I'm between jobs. So that's the state we're in right now, I guess.
Yes. How was your holiday? Did you get to enjoy lots of turkey and stuffing and all that good stuff?
Oh, did I eat lots of turkey and stuffing? Oh my God, it was ridiculous.
Good. I actually just made some turkey soup here to try and use up some of my extra turkey.
I am a fan of that, absolutely.
So, yeah. It was pretty tasty, and my belly's full, and I'm ready for a fun, rollicking edition of wrestling that does not involve wrestling, since I really just caught up today, and wow, there's not really, well, I didn't even catch up. I still haven't even, I finally taped TNA Impact, like a whole episode.
Oh,
and
wow.
I don't even care to watch it. Well, nothing else was on Thursday. You know, nothing else on Thursday was new.
Sure.
Except for those fucking idiots. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just had no desire to watch that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. There are some idiots on different message boards that do audios only about TNA, and I don't know how they do it. Is it drugs? Is it alcohol? I don't know how they get through it. But
oh, yeah, it's got to be a little bit of both.
Yeah. But anywho, I will continue to ignore TNA for the most part because that allows me to get through the day. So,
yeah, I think that's better for both of our health.
Yeah.
And really, Raw, there wasn't a whole lot going on there.
No.
And
I love that the guest host couldn't even be bothered to show up until about halfway through. Thought that was kind of funny.
And he could only be bothered to show up for really two very short segments.
Very short?
Yeah, and I didn't even really mean it that way at all, actually, which is the fucking sad thing.
Yep.
I guess it was three, and yeah, I could call them small segments too, and I would mean it that way. Yeah, he had that phone segment with Jericho and Big Show.
Uh-huh.
And then
he
had
the
two
phone
with MVP.
Why
oh,
the
fuck.
Why on the phone?
I don't know. Like, yeah, it's just like, oh, I came to a job. Oh, I'm going to stay on the phone all day with my parents or something like that. Like, oh, no. Leave me alone.
Yeah, I'm just going to talk to my roommates. You don't mind, do you? Okay.
Yeah, he at least could have said I was making a business deal or something. You know, made up some damn excuse to get out of that.
Mhm. Very strange. Very
yeah,
strange.
And I guess I didn't even realize that he's, you know, I mean, I realized that he was a midget and all that good stuff, but I did not realize that he was that small. I suppose. Like,
yeah, he is tiny.
Hornswoggle made him look, you know, he made Hornswoggle look like a normal human almost.
Good call.
Yeah, and their little fist bumping, because I guess that was the fourth segment, which also was short. And I don't care. I don't know why Hornswoggle got subtitles this week.
Yeah, some weeks he speaks perfect English, some weeks he can't speak any English. Yeah, don't try to make sense out of it.
Nope. Don't even care.
No, I really don't anymore. I just, that, I want that guy gone, man. He's old news.
Yeah, I think about the only part I liked about Raw was the fact that, I don't know, at least according to Even Steven booking, if Jericho gets the beatdown on next Monday, doesn't that mean him and Sho keep the tag belts?
I think so, yeah.
So that was the silver lining in the cloud that, well, in the haze that was Raw, really, like, there was...
The purple haze.
Yeah, I mean, there just really wasn't much of that show at all. Like, it was, it just all seemed like, well, they tried to make it sizzle, but, I mean, it was more like fizzle.
Yeah.
A whole lot of fizzle. No lot of steak.
With a very tiny S.
Yep.
Like a fizzle.
So, yeah. That was fun. So, yeah, wow, there's our Raw review. Thank you very much, kids. And we're out of here. Oh, and I guess the one upside, there was one upside to ECW, which I really just got finished with about a half an hour ago. I always found it odd that they put together Kozlov and Jackson because... Really,
yeah.
On that ECW roster, there's nobody else that can go against them at all.
So you think one would be like the babyface challenger? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and when they put them together, I'm like, okay, I don't know, maybe they're thinking of having them win the tag belts or something like that, and then they can build them up or something. But, yeah, they decided to, you know, do a whole lot of nothing with them. So breaking them up, essentially, at this point, whether it's official or not, it's definitely headed that way.
I almost think Kozlov would be better off as a babyface. He's got a weird kind of charisma anyway.
And yeah, but he doesn't read Dr. Seuss books. So, you know, he's got to be the evil Russian that nobody cares about.
Yeah. But we like evil Russians. They're fun. Evil Russians.
Yes, they are.
We
and
still be like
actually,
1989 without evil Russians.
And actually, the evil Russian has a little bit of something to do with our topic tonight, which I will let you somebody else came up with this off air. It was not me.
Yeah, credit where it's due, the special one. Me and him were shooting the shiznit the other day, and he came up with this idea, and I thought it would make a decent topic for an audio, and it allows us not to talk about Raw in depth, which I'm always excited about. But basically, if you look at the 80s, early 90s WWF, everyone, for the most part, not all true, nothing is all true except for, like, math equations, okay? So I don't want you to nitpick or, you know, tidbit what I'm saying because fuck you if you do that. But for the most part, every wrestler had his own specific color scheme. Hulk Hogan, obviously, red and yellow. Roddy Piper was, like, red and white. The Fabulous Rougeos were light blue and yellow. Akeem was blue and yellow. The Big Boss Man was blue. Who am I missing? I guess Demolition were black and silver. The Rockers were like neon green, right?
Oh, yeah. That's a fine, hideous mess.
But, yeah,
And another one that obviously laps into current time, but certainly started back then, was the pink and black of the Hart Foundation.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Which obviously was smartly taken up by the Hart Dynasty currently.
Right. And, yeah, the Hart Dynasty is one of the few examples currently of somebody going by that, like, time-honored tradition. Now, what really sparked my interest on this conversation was CM Punk appearing on Raw and SmackDown on the same week, and he wore a different outfit. And that was like, huh? You know, really?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's it. I kind of forgotten until earlier today when we were kind of, you know, briefing each other on the major points of this, and not really kind of smoothing things out, that I had gotten to a point where the Art of Wrestling originally was going to be looking at people's outfits, but they change so often now.
Yeah.
That it was impossible to keep up with. Like, I mean, I took like a month to do ECW's roster, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it was like, wow, holy shit. Like, you know, if it wasn't a different color pattern, it was just simply a different pattern on their outfits.
Yeah, something like
Yeah, like, everything would change. I'm like, oh, my God, there were very, very few people that would stay consistent. And, like, even the women, the women were the worst. I mean, the women, it was almost for sure that it was once every show, it was a different outfit.
Some different color, different scheme, yeah. Something's always changing. It really frustrates me.
Yeah, it does definitely have, I think it'd be good at least if the top people kind of stuck with something in one form or another.
And let me clarify that also, real quick.
Okay.
By that, we don't mean everybody wears black. Because that's the other thing that you see an abundance of, is everybody in some kind of black outfit. I mean, it worked for Steve Austin for a reason, because he was the only one doing it at the time. So, anyway.
Yeah, and when I went through the rosters there, black was definitely a common theme. In a lot of the Keller schemes that I did actually write down, obviously one already mentioned the Hart Foundation or the Hart Dynasty, pink and black, some white trim, some white in there every now and again.
Pink and black, but that's fine for them, but.
But let me see here: 1, 2, 3, 4. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I think 9 out of the, like, 15 or so people that I picked up here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was 15. I was kind of surprised that I had picked out 15 people that had a Keller scheme.
Sure.
Or at least
more than I expected, I think. But
yeah, certainly. Like, when you had brought the topic up to me earlier today, I was like, oh, fuck, I'm going to find, like, maybe 6 people or something like that.
Right, yep.
And then when I found 15, I was like, oh, wow. But some of the people, I'm not sure that they've been around long enough to say something one way or the other. Because, like, two of the people I wrote down were Sheamus and Drew McIntyre.
Sure. Yeah.
And they're both really new, so it's kind of like, you know, considering how much they're playing up Sheamus being the Celtic Warrior, I would imagine that Green will indeed be sticking around his ring attire.
I hope so. It makes sense. Perfect sense.
But, again, kind of going back to your black point, though, his is more black and green than it is green and black, as another guy that I wrote down, Finley.
Finley, yep.
He's more of a green than black.
Right. When I say Finley, you think green. And that's perfect. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Finley is exactly how all the wrestlers should be. You should think of color when you think of the wrestler.
So do you think it's okay to, have this, I mean, obviously with the size of their roster this day, would it be okay to reuse, you know, the same Keller for, you know, a couple of, as, you know, kind of the point with Sheamus and, you know, Finley here?
Yeah, I think that's fine because there's, you know, only so many colors you can go with, you know, unless, you know, you want to get into, like, different neon colors or, like, you know, some of the odd colors at the end of a crayon box or something. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, kind of limiting the color palette isn't really a bad thing. Like, I don't think that, you know, necessarily everyone would need to use royal blue or something like that. You know, everybody who used blue, like, you might be able to come up with various shades of some colors, but...
Yeah, I think different hues of blue, you know, that's fine if you want to use, like, 3-4 different kinds of blue, you know, but like you said, not everybody should have royal blue. Not everybody should have maroon, you know. Maybe one guy has maroon and one guy has, like, regular red and one guy has, I don't know, like, pink or something, you know.
Yeah. I just keep on feeling better by the day.
Yeah. Kevin smokes a carton a day, folks.
Of unfiltered cigarettes.
Unfiltered. Yes, yes.
Oh, man. That still cracked my shit up on SmackDown last week.
When he brought that box out, that was awesome, man. That was a classic moment.
An unfiltered, or a carton of unfiltered cigarettes. Oh, I can't even imagine. That would just be brutal.
Yes.
Anywho, yeah, but I guess we are getting back to a guy that is a Keller shifter there. And, yeah, anybody that hasn't listened to my hick accent before from Pennsylvania, Kevin pronounces C-O-L-O-R as Keller, so...
Keller, Wade bear. Keller, yep.
Yep, so bear with me. Pennsylvania E's in the house, or at least West Pennsylvania E's.
Nice.
Let's see. But, yeah, well, and we got started off the guy, Kozlov, good guy in red for the most part. Well, a good Keller in red, or a good choice in Kellers, I should say, in red, no?
Yes, yes. I mean, when you think communist Russia, you think red, you know? You know, like,
yeah.
Nikolai Volkov, basically.
Yep. So there is definitely some historical precedence for him. And I don't know if his semi-partner in crime, now probably not partner in crime, if he had ever really established anything, but he was wearing red.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you one guy that is wearing red now that really shouldn't be wearing red, which I wrote his name down, Mark Henry.
Yes. Oh, my God, he looks like the Kool-Aid Man. Awful. Awful, awful.
Yeah, so unfortunately, they have actually saddled somebody with the Keller, but he is, wow, not well-suited for it.
No. I would
and really,
with him, you need sort of like a color that doesn't stand out. Like a, I don't know, like a dark blue or a gray or something. Would be my guess. I don't know.
Kind of go back to an Olympic Keller blue or so.
Yeah.
You know, like an all-American flag blue, I would imagine might work out well for him.
Yep. I think, yeah, an all-American kind of thing for him, because he is better as a babyface, as a nice guy unless you cross him. Babyface is the best way to use him. So they can get away with an all-American kind of, you know, stick with him. I'd like that. That works out good.
Yeah, which is really kind of odd, you know. I mean, considering they, you know, always talk about his Olympic background, the fact that they don't use that at all is really a bit of a head scratcher.
It's par for the course with them, though.
Yes, and his tag team partner, MVP, I wrote him down. I don't know if I didn't really count him as one of the 15 because. He's really kind of changed as things have gone along. Like, I mean, he's in red now.
Right.
But he is certainly not settled on that.
Right. Get the man some sleeves, by the way.
Well, he did help himself out by getting a sleeve O tattoos on his left arm to help cover up the prison tattoos.
I feel like he's like Ricky Wild Thing Vaughn or something. We wear caps and sleeves at this level, son.
Yeah, I didn't like the sleeves at first, but I think I ended up liking them later just because the way his outfit evolved.
I think
it ended
now that I can
being
see
better.
It both ways, I prefer the sleeves.
Oh. So, yeah, I don't know. Well, and that's another thing. If they keep them together as a tag team, Should they have matching colors all the time, or should it be a bit of a contrasting colors kind of a deal?
In my opinion, it should match. If they're going to be together, they should match. Just like the Hart Dynasty match, and, you know, just like the Rockers used to, and the Russos used to, and the Beverly Brothers, and blah, blah, blah. You know.
Yeah, cause they certainly didn't let whatever that new tag team was on ECW match at all.
No.
Chris
Cage and somebody, yeah.
Yeah.
Which,
they
by the way, congratulations, Chris Cage. It's only your third shot at it.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to be in a tag team. Well, guess what?
Yeah, one of my boys from ECW took the fall there. He didn't even get his, not ECW, from Pro Wrestling Ohio.
Yeah? Oh, really?
Yeah, beautiful Bobby Shields was the blonde guy that got his ass handed to him and pinned there in that match.
Right on.
Yeah, I think that you can have different colors so long as they match.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And they've got to have some type of, like, and I think this was the problem that I was getting towards, too, with them, is that their tight design was so different from each other's. Like, they both kind of had, like, these sharp angles and whatnot.
Totally agree.
But they were so different. It's like, oh, this sucks.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was a bit of a problem in my book for them.
Yeah. And I mean, they're new, so it can change. I certainly hope they don't stick with that.
Yeah, because even the Hart Dynasty, they didn't use the pink and black right away, did they?
Oh, no, they didn't. Which, again, is foolish, since you want to remind them of the team that they're named after, for God's sake. So, it seems like no-brainer to put in those colors.
One would think that would be the bright thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh well.
Yep, they finally got it right. And you know what? Staying with them for a sec, they did get rid of the cow pattern types, thank God.
You called it. You called it. They got to do it, and they listened to you.
Yeah, those things were just hideous.
I don't know whose idea that was, but I hope he got fired.
Yeah, certainly wasn't mine, that's for sure.
I know it wasn't our boy Bruce Pritchard. He wouldn't think of something like that.
Oh, man. And who else do I have down here? Like, and some of these, and did I say this already? Like, some of these guys I don't really, who's the other guy? Oh, my boy, actually, Dolph Ziggler.
Oh, yeah.
He kind of has a black and white theme going on.
Right.
But he doesn't have much of it in his trunks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He does keep the black and white in his vest most of the time.
Yep.
But again, it's just he kind of, you know, ends up in that area of too much use of black, probably.
Definitely agree. They got to get more people away from black, you know.
Yeah, and they certainly could if they really wanted to. And considering the amount of times they've mentioned Kent State when he's had one of his matches.
They
really could have gone with the blue and gold colors of fine Kent State University.
Yep. And that would be perfect. Nobody else wears that.
Nope. And the funny thing, too, and I mean, I don't know. I don't really have much on him. But speaking of people using the same Kellers, just as I was watching ECW here, first Goldust has a match with William Regal, who because you brought maroon earlier, didn't he used to wear maroon fairly often?
Yes, pretty much all the time. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it would be nice to see him go back to the maroon because he's another guy stuck in that, oh, let's just keep on wearing fucking black.
Mm-hmm.
Brigade.
Black on Regal just makes him seem like just another dude. Maroon makes him stand out. It is a Regal color, so to speak.
Yes.
Again, I don't know why you want your wrestlers to all seem the same. This is such a little thing that can make your people stand out, you know? I don't understand.
Yeah, and then these two guys, and the first point I was getting at here, Goldust wrestles, and then just a little bit later in the show, Shelton Benjamin wrestles, and they both wear gold and black.
Yep. Not necessary.
And you know, going with my homeboys in Pittsburgh there, two of the teams actually wear black. They call it black and gold for the Steelers and the Pirates, really.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But they wear black and yellow.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The Penguins are the only team in that city, well, the only professional team in that city that actually wear gold.
Right. This is definitely yellow for the Steelers.
Yeah. And it's, you know, something that, you know, even a minor adjustment like that might help out one person or the other. Like, I don't think you can change gold dust at all. And really, I guess that's the gold standard with Shelton. Like, maybe they just, would it help if they're on different shows?
Probably. Probably, then you wouldn't notice it as much. The fact that they're on the same show is a terrible idea for them to have the same colors. I mean, unless they're tagging, which they're obviously not, you know. This is just two singles dudes who happen to wear the same color.
Huh. Yeah. But at least the one thing that they did do with those two is that Benjamin seems to be more towards the, you know, kind of going back to the one has more than the other. He seems to have more gold in his outfit.
Right.
And more of a black trim. And Gold Dust is more of a 50-50, really, even with his face paint.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He went from, like, all gold to, like, gold and black over the years. I think that was kind of a neat change. The more black he has in his face paint, the more like a creature he looks like. Like a permanent Halloween character.
Yeah, well. And he did not do well when he really tried to go like a Halloween character in TNA. So.
No, not at all. Not at all. That was some stupid bullshit.
And let's see. Well, and ECW, I was actually kind of surprised. Like, and I didn't really look at their roster, so maybe more people do it. But Zack Ryder has actually been sticking with the purple and orange, I believe.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you brought him up. He was on my list to bring up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it works well, especially with the douchebag tan they keep on giving him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that character. Mm. Such a huge douchebag. It's awesome.
Yeah, and I mean, I think having something that garish on him really suits him. Like,
yeah.
You don't have to go neon to be garish.
Right. Hey, neon used to be cool. Shut up.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure I had my fair share of neon clothing in my
oh, yeah.
In my dresser drawers when I was growing up. So I am not really throwing stones in a glass house. I will fully admit to being guilty of the times. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and his poem to Rosa. Oh, that was just priceless.
He is awesome. He is truly one of the standout performers right now. He has just totally embraced that character. Maybe he really is a Jersey Guido douchebag. I don't know, but it seems perfect for him.
Yeah, well, if he pops up on MTV's Jersey Shore, we certainly will know.
Oh, they should try to get him booked on that. That would be great.
Yeah, that would certainly be some cross-promotion that I wouldn't think would be a bad thing.
No, right. Oh, well, we can dream.
Oh, man. Well... I think I've gotten everybody from SmackDown and ECW. Is there anybody else on your list that you had on those two promotions?
No, not really. The other one I wanted to bring up is on Raw, so I'll let you get to that then.
Okie dokie. Well, we covered Mark Henry, MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Did Sheamus, so we can go ahead and skip on him.
Yeah.
And this is one guy that I guess I didn't really think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But they could certainly get rid of the black in his outfit. And that is one Santino Marella.
Yes. Thank you. Another guy wearing black needlessly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like they did this smart thing. Like when they made his first shirt, and I reviewed it there at whatever time. The Italian soccer team is called the Azzurri, which means the blue.
Okay.
So there is no reason he shouldn't be in all blue.
Exactly.
Or if he doesn't want to go with that theme, how hard is it to go with a Paul Roma-esque red and green and white theme?
Exactly. One or the other, I would prefer all blue, but it doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, it's just like, why do you, it's like they insist on putting black on people that just really don't need it.
And when everybody's wearing black, then what, it's like it's not even special, it's like it's boring. You know, oh, I'm looking at black against black, you know? Whoopee. Like, if everybody wore turquoise green would be boring, too, you know? Fuck.
Oh, man, turquoise green, that'd be fun. Ooh!
Yeah.
He was on my list. And this guy, I didn't even think about. He's another one that I didn't think about. I don't even. Well, and we could go back to sticking with the old. Because and you had even mentioned it earlier today about kind of theming people more like professional teams.
Yeah. You should sort of treat every wrestler like a football team, where they each have their own little distinct logo or color scheme. That's kind of how I look at it, anyway.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I think they're kind of missing. Like, I guess we're skipping back to Kozlov here. They always had the hammer and sickle on, you know, Volkov's outfits. Like, that would be one thing that they could really stick with. And really, I think I've mentioned it before with merchandise man Steve Austin there. He always had a skull or a snake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or both.
Or both. If they really wanted to be, they'd put both on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, on his merchandise. And, Jack Swagger is a guy that almost always wears red and black.
Yes.
Beating this theme over and over again. Again, you know, and going back to the whole Ziggler thing, why not use Oklahoma's colors?
Yep.
You know, white and maroon.
White and maroon, perfect.
You know, he's still wearing a singlet, for God's sakes.
Right, it's gimmick. It's his gimmick,
yeah.
So why not make that his colors?
And there's no reason, like, okay, I wasn't sure if you cut out on me or if,
No, I stopped because you were saying the exact same thing as me.
Okie dokie. this is the part where we need to see each other face to face, then we can realize when the other person's starting and or stopping.
No, I just realized, like, you were saying the exact same thing as me, so I better shut my mouth because you'll say it better than I can. No one wants
and,
to
Well, and they obviously wouldn't need to use the OU logo or anything like that, but there's no reason that they couldn't come up with something fairly quickly.
Yep.
I mean, an S can snake around the long part of a J very easily. I mean, if you even want to go simple and just go with the initials right away, you know, to theme something. Hey, you know, have at it.
Definitely.
And then just as a lower card guy, but... and a guy that at least to me embodies what I was talking about earlier with the tights changing all the time. Evan Bourne.
Yep.
for the most part, had stuck with red, black, and white.
Yes.
Especially since he's been on Raw. But his pattern changes so often.
Yeah.
Like, he wouldn't have that symbol that we've been talking about more here at this tail end.
Yeah. That's right.
And I certainly wouldn't want... Oh, my God. That was another shirt that I reviewed. They just had kind of like a stop animation of him on the back of one of his shirts doing his shooting star.
Right. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Not a good... That would not be a good theme in my book if they'd end up using that as, you know, his little deal.
No, I would not. I'd rather do something else, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely would. That's, ugh.
And they supposedly have a whole bunch of creative people in that office. They can come up with something better than that, you would hope.
Yeah, I would think. They have more people under the employ than we do brainstorming stuff up, so.
Right. And if I got paid to think of stuff like that, you better believe I'd come up with something. But right now, I'm just going to say what I don't like.
Who were you thinking of on Raw? Because I don't know if I really necessarily have an idea for Evan Bourne, but I'm saving the best for last in my book.
Okay. Well, the guy I was going to bring up, other than who you've already covered, is that John Cena is always changing. And I can kind of see why. But, like, Hulk Hogan never needed to change, you know? You just pump out a new red and yellow shirt every couple months and people hawk it out, you know?
His color changes all the time. I mean, he always has jeans on, so it's easy to match in a way.
Right, but the shirt is always changing.
Yeah, and he went from the John Deere yellow and green.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you know, this is just within the last couple of months because, wow, I don't know if that shirt came out much more than, you know, at WrestleMania or so.
It couldn't have come out
thereafter.
Mm-hmm.
And then, he's gone to the Boise State Keller scheme there now.
Nice.
Yeah, well, luckily he's not going to be wrestling on Smurf turf anytime soon. I think it would help. And, I mean, you mentioned Hogan. I've already mentioned Austin. They both stayed within their Keller scheme. Because even Austin, at least on his shirt, was because of the whole skull motif, it tended to be a black and white shirt.
Yep. Yep.
You know, and maybe he'd throw in some silver because there was some silver on his outfits a lot.
Right.
Well, at least on his vest, there was silver.
Silver, yep.
So, yeah, I mean, Cena really could stick with something. I mean, there's no reason he can't go... So, I mean, I do kind of think that they get fairly creative with the kind of throwback stuff that they do.
Yeah.
And, like, the stuff that they rip off for him.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, you could keep a Keller theme going through all of that stuff.
I think so. I don't think that would limit you at all, you know? You just work within those parameters, just like they did with Austin, just like they did with Hogan. If he's their franchise boy, he should have one set color scheme.
I agree, for sure. I really don't quite understand it.
Yeah. It's weird. It's just weird. I really would like to ask them what they're thinking when they do that, you know? Or if they don't even think like we're thinking, which is probably my guess. They don't even know they're making a mistake.
Yeah, I would definitely go with that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But my saving the best for last.
Okay, go
to
ahead.
Me, Kofi Kingston.
Yes.
Green and yellow. They brought in a little bit of red recently, I will admit. But they even have a symbol for him, which is the little dreadlock dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have everything for him, and there is no reason whatsoever they should go away from that theme.
Definitely.
I don't care that he's lost the Jamaican accent.
I actually prefer that he's lost the Jamaican accent.
Yeah, I believe I've mentioned that I'm more than glad that he's dropped it. But, you know, to me, I would just be worried that they feel that way. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just like, oh, he lost the Jamaican accent. Let's get rid of the color scheme that we've used for him now for, I don't know, has he been on TV for 2 years now?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's just like, no. Go ahead and keep everything. The red highlight's okay because I do believe that the Jamaican stuff does occasionally use some red.
It does. It really does.
So, you know, there's no reason to bust their balls on that account.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, he actually has a symbol. Like, I mean, so long as he keeps his hairdo the way he has it.
Right.
That will be a great symbol to keep around that they can keep on putting on stuff.
Definitely agree.
Well, and you know what?
They've done his whole push so well. Everything about his push has been really good. So he's got an angel in the locker room for sure.
Yeah, and they even really have a secondary thing with him in the, because I think he usually has the palm trees on his knee pads.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So there you go. We talked about Steve Austin having a skull and a snake. We can go with the palm tree and the little Jamaican Rastafarian that Kofi always has on, or usually has on his stuff.
Love it.
Yep, and I think that's why I saved him for last. Like, they've done almost everything right with him, and it kind of scares me.
Yeah.
Because, and that was one theme that that did kind of strike me. I was reading one of Jim Ross's, I think it was on his barbecue blog. I don't remember because I was reading it on .net there.
Okay.
And going back to Mr. Sheamus here, he talked about how, you know, they finally are pushing somebody new, but now people are complaining that he's getting pushed too fast.
Yeah.
And keeping with our theme here, Sheamus, they should, again, keep his symbol around, considering they've used the Celtic cross. It hasn't been for that long.
Right.
But considering his look, I don't think they're going to send him to the tanning bed anytime soon, nor dye his hair, thank God.
Right.
There's no reason that Celtic cross shouldn't stick around.
Totally agree. Yep.
And, Jim Ross, he realizes that there's a difference between the push that Kofi's getting,
yeah,
which has been gradual,
yep,
and building,
mm-hmm,
as opposed to going from ECW reintroduction, basically, on Raw last month,
yep,
to being in a championship match.
Mm-hmm. Pretty Absolutely.
I think that sometimes good old JR just gets argumentative just to be the company man.
I think so. I think he knows who cashes his checks is what it boils down to.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure that in his mind he realizes that why people might disagree with Sheamus's push. Well, it's not even a push. It's a quantum leap, if I may say
so. It really
is.
It really is. And if it works, God bless him. Then it wasn't too fast. But I don't think it's gonna work perfectly. So.
Yeah.
Time will tell.
Yep. I don't know. I think, as I said, I kind of left the best for last there as far as my stuff goes. We weren't really going to try and brainstorm for any type of gimmick for every guy or anything like that, were we?
No, again, that falls under the category. If they gave me the booking job, I would come up with something for everybody on the first day. But if I'm just doing an audio about it, I'm just going to, you know, skim over everything.
Yeah, well, and I guess one last guy that's coming to mind here, or one last group, I should say, that's coming to mind that, wow, the amount of merchandise that they sold, not that it was expensive, but those glow sticks for DX. DX
oh, yeah.
Definitely has its own Keller theme.
Yep.
Granted, black is still involved, and I suppose there is some neon green there, which does distinguish it from Sheamus.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And Finley, really.
I would say that's the most important thing, is that they're distinguished from the other greens. So.
Well, and even with Sheamus and Finley, I think that Finley uses more of a, I don't want to call it a light green, really.
Yeah.
But it's certainly, I would call Sheamus as more something in the forest green category, which is a deep going towards black green.
Mm-hmm.
And Finley is more of like a traditional Irish flag kind of a green.
Exactly. That's perfect.
But yeah, wow. Triple H and Shawn Michaels might not have much of... Oh, yeah! How did I almost forget that? Triple H defending his black and silver when Umaga was still in the WWE.
Right. And my argument was that it's still black. You should not be proud of having a predominant black color scheme.
Yeah. He doesn't really push that silver that much. Like, Umaga really should have been able to use black and silver.
Right.
And plus, I don't know who, considering how awful the Raiders are, but how much people love that Keller scheme.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense that the King of Kings wouldn't use that, really.
Right.
You know, I mean, I suppose you could go with gold, but again, we're kind of getting back into Dust and Benjamin territory here.
Right. And Triple H doesn't want to conjure up images of Shelton Benjamin. Pretty sure on that one.
Oh, and I would not blame him. Well, I think at least for the time being, we have exhausted that topic.
Yeah, and I hope that we start something on the message board with that. I'd like to hear other people's opinions, you know. Do you agree with us, disagree with us, and what colors do you think work should use? That would be interesting to hear.
Yeah, and considering that yet again my computer is being an anal pain in my ass, hopefully, maybe even before Jeremy gets around to posting this, maybe we can throw something up there in the audio area.
Yeah.
And get said discussion started, because wow, I didn't even think about. And wow, this almost goes back to the beginning when I said how much I blew off TNA. Did I say I blew off TNA on the audio, or was that before we started talking, or before we started recording?
That's recorded.
Yeah, that is how little I care about TNA, is I did not even look at their roster to check to see if anybody has a Keller theme.
No, I don't care enough to talk about that.
One guy I can think of offhand that I would, two guys now. Supermex.
Yep.
Was going with the Mexican theme, and Suicide.
Right.
Who yet again involves black predominantly in his Keller scheme.
The perfect example, another black one.
Yep. Do, yeah, wow, that's kind of funny, really. Okie dokie. Well, I've been since I've been doing the intro duties, I've been letting you handle the outro duties. So take it away, Mr. Giebig.
All right. Well, for Kevin DeFringo and for Wade Keller Schemes, this is Dusty Giebig. This has been another edition of Stunt Granny Audio. We'll catch you next time.